Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles' Weekly Sermons.
Continue participating in the events surrounding the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the same theme that I was talking to you about during Holy Week. How during Holy Week, through the mystery of the church, we are participants in, we are observers of, we are not remembering historical events, we are participating in tremendous spiritual events. And having participated in those things, we continue. Because as faithful Christians, our hope is not just in the crucifixion of Christ, but in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so it is not enough for us to simply participate in his betrayal and his torture and his crucifixion and his death, but we must also be participants in his resurrection. And so in guiding us through that process, through that time of participation, we read from St. John's Gospel. And the Gospel reading today should have sounded familiar to you if you were here for Vespers on Sunday last week. Because we follow again the chronology of events, we participate in them again. So on Sunday of Pascha, Agape Vespers, we read this portion from St. John's Gospel concerning how the Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples on the evening of that same day. Which day is that? It's the day that Mary Magdalene and the other women came to them and said, "We saw the Lord." And Peter and John ran and they found the tomb empty. And they go away perplexed. The disciples have not yet seen the risen Lord. They've heard from Mary Magdalene and the other women, but it says in the Gospels they accounted it as fables, right? They didn't believe them. And moreover, we have this account from St. John that they're behind closed doors out of fear of the Jews. Now, you remember that the apostles were also Jewish, right? But it's fear of those who are unbelieving. Because now that Jesus has been sort of taken out of the picture, the intention still exists to eliminate his disciples. And they are aware of this. And they're frightened. And so they gather together that same day at evening, and they're all together because they've been together for over 3 years now. And they've been woven together as a family by Jesus. And so they're gathered together, but they're all afraid. And while they're gathered together and the doors are locked, then Jesus comes to them. In the same way that he mysteriously rose from the dead and came out of the tomb with the stone still in place. You understand. Something is different about the body of the Lord Jesus from this point forward. The body that he took to the cross and down into the grave has been utterly transfigured, completely. And so much so that whenever the women go to the tomb and they think, who's going to roll away the stone? And the angel comes and rolls away the stone. He doesn't do it so that Jesus can get out. He rolls away the stone to show them that the tomb is empty. Jesus has already risen from the dead. And with his physical body, in its utterly transfigured state, in complete and perfect unity with his divinity, it is no longer bound by the physical laws that govern this world that you and I live in. So he's already left the tomb with the stone still in place. In the same manner, even though the disciples are gathered together and the doors are locked, Jesus comes to them. And he comes to them with words of comfort, because again, they're gathered together and they're afraid. And so he says to them, "Peace be unto you." And he showed them his hands and his side. That's proof, right? So that they wouldn't think it was some kind of ghost or apparition or vision or something. He says to them, "Here are my hands." It's the very body that was nailed to the cross. The very same. Even though you see it now doing things which other bodies don't do, nevertheless, this is the body that was nailed to the cross. And the disciples see him and they are glad. They rejoice. And then he breathes on them and he says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is a preparatory imparting of the Holy Spirit. It's not yet a full participation in the Holy Spirit, because that, as we know, comes on the day of Pentecost. But nevertheless, He prepares them. It's almost like, you know, when we make catechumens, we made Angelina and her children catechumens a few weeks ago, right? And we breathe on the catechumens. We breathe on them. It's a participation by anticipation. It's a preparatory event. And the Lord, the same way, He prepares His disciples to receive the full gift of the Holy Spirit. And He says, peace to you again. As my Father has sent me, I send you. And then we're told how Thomas, one of the 12, was not there. And the other disciples say, we have seen the Lord. Where was Thomas this whole time? Most of the interpreters say he was still hiding. Still hiding from when? From Thursday night. From Thursday night. Remember when the Lord was betrayed in the garden and the soldiers seized him and the disciples scattered to the four corners and fled. Thomas is still hiding. We call him Doubting Thomas because he says, I won't believe. But if I understand correctly in Russian, it's stronger than that. We say someone doubts something, we think, well, you know, if I'm doubting something, I'm not sure that's true, right? It's kind of a wishy-washy kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. But as I understand it, that in Russian, he's called Unbelieving Thomas. It's a harsher, more direct assessment of his character. Unbelieving Thomas. Because of what the gospel says, right? The apostles say to him, the other ones say, we saw the Lord. And Thomas says, unless I will put my finger into the hole that the nails made in his hand and stick my hand into his side. This is a very gory imagery, right? I mean, Thomas is being very bold here, but he's saying it, unless I can do those things, I will not believe. I will not believe. So the Russians call him Unbelieving Thomas, because he says, I will not believe. That all happens in the evening on the first day, right? This is all happening in one day, the day that the Lord rose from the dead. And then we pick up, having read that passage over again, we continue on. After 8 days. What's 8 days later? Today. This day. If you count from one Sunday to the next Sunday, you have 8 days. Mm-hmm. So the initial appearances of the Lord to His disciples after His resurrection from the dead are all taking place on Sundays, right? And from that time until this time, that's the day of Christian worship. It has nothing to do with Constantine or with the Roman cult of the sun or any of that nonsense. It's because the Lord rose from the dead on the 8th day. And He appeared to His disciples the same day. So 8 days later, they're gathered together again, and this time Thomas is with them. And this time, with the doors again shut and locked, Jesus comes to them again. He reveals himself to them again. He manifests himself again. He says to them the same words of comfort, peace be unto you. And then revealing his utter and complete divinity, even though he had told them about it again and again before his crucifixion, he reveals it now by saying to Thomas words that Thomas had said in Jesus' visible absence the week before. What he's doing is revealing that he was invisibly present. Even though they did not perceive him to be there, he was present. Because he quotes Thomas's own words to him. Thomas, reach your finger here and behold my hands. And reach your hand here. And the Lord is even more bold, I would say, than Thomas. Thrust it into my side. Reach your hand over here and thrust it into my side. Feel the wound that was made by the spear when they pierced me on the cross. And be not faithless, but believing. The Lord reveals Himself to be the very one who was crucified on the cross, who is now risen from the dead, and over whom death has no more power. The laws of the physical laws of this universe no longer govern Him. He has proven Himself to be master of all of those things, up to and including death. And so Thomas, having seen these things, makes a twofold confession. And it's even bolder than the ones that the disciples made before, because what did the disciples say whenever they saw him and they reported it to Thomas whenever he finally came out of hiding? They said, we have seen the Lord. But Lord is a human title, right? We use that for all kinds of things, right? Kings are called lords. Even in our liturgy, we refer to the bishop as our Lord, right? This is a human title. And in fact, usually, it's a more or less in other languages, it's a version of sir. And when we're being polite, we still call people sir, right? Regardless of the nobility of their blood, out of politeness, we call them a man sir. In modern day Greek, if you call someone sir, it's kyrios. It's Lord. So this is a human title. And the disciples say to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas's response after seeing the print of the nails in the hands of the Lord Jesus and putting his hand into his side, he says, "My Lord and my God." It's a profound confession of faith that Thomas makes now, because he confesses him to be both man and God. He acknowledges his utter and complete humanity and his utter and complete divinity, which has been manifested in the resurrected body that he has shown to them. And Jesus responds to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's you and me, my brothers and sisters. And then the evangelist John goes on to tell us that Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples, which are not even written in this book. But these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and the world is no longer the same place. The world is no longer the ancient place which was bound over to death and corruption. Those rules no longer govern us. Fear of death, fear of corruption, none of that has any more hold on you and on me. And if you don't believe me that Christians should not fear death, and I encourage you to read the lives of the martyrs. They endured all manner of tortures. Look at St. Catherine over here on the wall. See her sitting there in blessed repose with a cross in her hand and her hand resting on the spiked wheel. What is that spiked wheel? They tortured her to death on that spiked wheel. What does the icon reveal to us? It doesn't show us a gory image of torture. It shows her victory over that spiked wheel. She sits clothed in the robes of nobility and royalty, with a cross in her hand and a crown on her head, and her hand gently resting on this instrument of torture. Because she, by the grace of Christ, overcame death and corruption. All of the martyrs have overcome death and corruption by the grace of the Lord Jesus. Because for them, death was no longer something to fear. Separation from Christ is something to fear. But death is not something that Christians fear. Because Christ himself has presented himself as one who is victorious over that. To him be glory, honor, and worship unto ages of ages. Amen.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed.